It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore American Sign Language, or ASL now, deaf awareness and culture. As hundreds of thousands of people use ASL as a primary language, according to the group Lead with Languages, call in with your questions and experiences, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jacqueline Corey is an American Sign Language interpreter with ASL Partners in Appleton. Jacqueline, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me on.
Good morning. Well, I should say welcome on this side as a guest.
Well, thank you very much.
So what inspired you to become a sign language interpreter?
For me, I think it was a lot different than other interpreters. Most interpreters have a deaf family member, a deaf friend that they grew up with. I didn't have that. I just had an innate knowing that I needed to explore the language from a young age.
And so you just decided to start learning, or how did you take that step?
Yes. So I attended college at UW-Eau Claire, go Blue Golds, and there was an American Sign Language class offered. That was the first class that I had available to me, and I took it, and I took every succeeding class I could after that to immerse myself in the culture and the language as much as possible. And I became conversationally fluent by the time I graduated, but not quite interpreter fluent. I had to go back to school to get my degree in order to become an interpreter.
What is that step of actually becoming an interpreter and, and going from someone who can sign to someone who is licensed to sign? What does that change?
Yeah, so there are two schools left in the state of Wisconsin where you can get your interpreter's license. One is NTC, North Central Technical College in Wausau, and that's a two-year degree. And then Milwaukee, UW-Milwaukee still has a program. They have a four-year degree. If you already have a bachelor's in anything else, you can go to a two-year college and get a two-year degree in interpreting to be a community sign language interpreter. And if you do not have a bachelor's, you have to go to a four-year program to get a bachelor's in interpreting.
Okay, so that is the path. Are sign language interpreters, would you say, easy to find in Wisconsin, or is it difficult?
We were hard to find before, and post-pandemic, it is even more challenging. A lot of the interpreters are freelance interpreters. Green Bay has a fair amount of freelance interpreters. I believe the western half of the state over by Eau Claire has a ton, if not only, freelance interpreters. Down by Madison, Milwaukee, areas, because they're a little larger, they have a few interpreting businesses and companies available. We, ASL Partners, are one of the, I believe, two companies up in this area, northeastern Wisconsin, that has a full-on company.
And so do you get a call for when your services are needed? How does that work?
Yes. So we have interpreted for any deaf person or hearing person, for that matter. It goes both ways, right? People often forget that. In any situation that they need, we do medical, we do weddings, funerals, births, deaths, Weight Watchers meetings, AA meetings. We've interpreted in the prison systems, in the schools, in colleges. I mean, you name it, whatever they need, they call us and we show up.
Can you explain a little bit more about the licensing process in the respect of passing the state exam, keeping your license active? What does the state require?
Sure. So there is a state certification you can get, and there is a national certification you could get. The state certification looks a little bit different. The national is a little bit more intense. I currently do not have my national. I only have my state certification. The national is a pretty intense exam. It is not regulated well. And so oftentimes people, even who have been in the profession for many, many years, 20, 30, 40 years, have a hard time passing the national exam. And it makes people shy away from maintaining the profession for a long period of time.
Do you have to be recertified each year on a state level?
Yes, we get, I believe it's every other year we get recertified. We have to keep up with our license by getting CEUs, much like teachers used to have to do. And then we have to keep up with all the new and upcoming exams. Oftentimes when they come out with a new exam, because legally things have changed, gosh, I've been in this profession for about 10 years. Legally things have changed probably 3 or 4 times in those 10 years. I've had to go back and retake all the new exams. They have not allowed me to be grandfathered into the old systems. So it makes things, again, rather challenging for people who want to stay in the profession, because it's like, I've already passed this exam. Why are you making me take another one? So it's definitely challenging to find interpreters.
The National Association of the Deaf says that each country has its own sign language. Should there be a universal language? What are your thoughts there?
Personally, and obviously this is just my opinion, I think it would be glorious if there was an international sign language. There is one international sign language. It's called Gestundo. It's used primarily at United Nations meetings, and I would say 5 to 10 people throughout the entire world know it. So it's not very widely used. But ASL, obviously American Sign Language, is not universal. Every country has its own sign language. American Sign Language is derived from French Sign Language, actually. So a lot of our base signs that we use in developing American Sign Language came from France and French Sign Language.
And you say, the language has its own rules as far as grammar and sentence structure and some of those foundational things. Can you just share an example of a sentence and how you work through it and what it means?
Most certainly. So what most people don't think about and why sign language is different than spoken languages is that it's three-dimensional. It's not two-dimensional. It's very visual. In some aspects, it's almost like drawing a picture in the air. So the example I always like to use that one of my old instructors taught me is the sentence, "The house on the hill is on fire." So in American Sign Language, we would sign hill, because the hill has to physically be there, and I would show a hill in the space in front of me. I would draw it in the air. Then I would sign house, and put the house on top of that hill. It's very visual. The hill has to be there. There has to be a land structure before a house can be built on top of it. And then I would show fire and sign fire, but I would show it exactly where the house is, showing that it's inside the house. It's incredibly visual. Sign language does not have articles. It doesn't use, sign. We don't sign the words to, the, it, for, from, any of that. If you're following true ASL sentence structure. And so it kind of naturally condenses itself. It's very unique. It's very different. It's very logical, and I think a lot of students could use it in, even hearing students most definitely, and we have a lot of special needs students who use it as well, in other aspects of their learning, and it could help propel them forward in multiple ways.
It's just remarkable all the things that are going on at the same time in the interpreter's brain. I mean, we often hear how we're poor multitaskers, but, what you are having to do as you are interpreting, in a live situation, what do you think of that and what is possible?
Yeah. So, oh my goodness, interpreters, I like to call it the circus in our heads. We're attempting, obviously, I don't think anyone can do two things exactly at the same time, but quite quickly after one another, we can. We're attempting to do three things essentially at the same time. I'm listening or visually taking in the sign language that someone is producing at this moment. I am processing what was said 1 second ago, and I'm producing either with my voice or on my hands what was said 2 seconds ago. And all of that has to be done as simultaneously as possible. And so by the end of the day, I don't know about other interpreters, I think they would probably agree with me, your brain is mush. I mean, you just go home and you're mentally exhausted. But because you're essentially a human telephone, right? And mm-hmm. No two things are ever interpreted exactly the same, because it depends on the client that you're working with and their educational level and their background. So you have to pick and choose words that match that particular person, that particular situation, to the best of your ability at a very rapid speed.
That is just fascinating. How many hours might you interpret at a time? What's been your record?
Oh, goodness. Usually, typically, if our assignments are over 2 hours long, we will send two interpreters and we will switch off every 20 to 30 minutes, because the ability for your brain to continue processing language at that rate for a lengthy period of time, it just dissipates rather quickly.
Mm. Jacqueline Corey, Wisconsin-based American Sign Language interpreter, join in with questions about ASL or interpreters. What's on your mind? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Inspired by a caller-only program suggestion, we examine American Sign Language, ASL. Call in with questions and comments about sign language and culture, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jacqueline Corey is with us, Wisconsin-based American Sign Language interpreter in Appleton. Let's take a call now. Linda in Milwaukee area. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning. I was just channel surfing in my car this morning, and I heard you guys. So kudos to you guys for having some education about us. I'm a medical interpreter. I won't say what health system I work with, but I'm a staff interpreter with a health system in Wisconsin, southeast Wisconsin. I hail from the Milwaukee area. I've interpreted for over 30 years. Just some clarifications on what I heard the person saying. I didn't catch her name. I apologize.
No, it's okay, Linda. It's Jacqueline.
First of all, the International Sign Language is not called Gestuno. It's Gestuno, G-E-S-T-U-N-O. So there's been limited success with using it. I did see a research paper that says in the Eastern languages, it's my understanding in spoken languages, anybody can call in and correct me, that the past is referred to as before you. And the future is referred to as behind you. In Western languages, it's the opposite. A lot of references in our English that we use in the United States refers to the future, something you look forward to, or if you look back at a memory, it's the opposite.
So a very clear distinction. Linda, while we have you here, I just want to ask you, what is the most challenging aspect to be a sign language interpreter in the medical setting? What do you grapple with?
What I get really frustrated about, and I'm kind of a vigilante, so I am a hard of hearing interpreter. There are also hard of hearing interpreters out there. I use a hearing aid. I see every day when I'm at home and I take off my hearing aid what commercials are captioned and what are not. I think there's a great health disparity with information. I'm very frustrated. The federal government, as of last year, is putting out a lot of commercials about medical issues, about human trafficking, about sunscreen, about all kinds of things. And none of them are captioned.
That's really interesting. Linda, I just want Jacqueline to join in here on that aspect of closed captioning that displays the audio portion of a TV program as text on the screen. Jacqueline, what are your thoughts? How could TV closed captioning be improved?
Well, I think while it's a good thing to have closed captioning, because of the differences in language, American Sign Language versus English, and the word order being completely different, while closed captioning is better than having absolutely nothing, and I think as of the early 90s, the ADA mandated it for all, you know, TV shows and movies. I'm not sure about commercials at this point, but I don't see why they wouldn't have it included because it can only benefit them. But as far as closed captioning goes, it would be best, absolute best, would be to have an interpreter on a small box in the corner of the screen and have someone actually signing what is being said on the screen to the deaf individual, because then they're getting it in their first language. When you're reading closed captions, that's written in English. That's deaf people or hard of hearing people sometimes, depending on the situation. That's their second language. So they have to try to take an extra minute to turn all the words around and make sense of them, and it's a little bit more challenging when it's not presented in their first language.
Talking about sign language with Jacqueline Corey, Wisconsin-based American Sign Language interpreter. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Jacqueline, I want to turn to the Super Bowl for a moment. And Justina Miles became the first deaf woman to perform ASL at the pregame and halftime shows. And then at a press conference, Justina signed to a male interpreter who spoke her words.
To really bring that empowerment to millions and millions of Black deaf people all over the country who've never really seen that before. And so they should feel inspired, and that's the same way I feel. I feel like that is truly lifting every voice, even my voice.
What was your reaction to that moment in the Super Bowl?
Oh, I think, first of all, she did a phenomenal job. I'm really happy that they were able to give her interpreter services. And it's up to each deaf individual as to whether or not they want to keep the interpreter that is offered to them. Now, of course, a lot of times they don't have the option, right? Male versus female, black versus not. And they sometimes have to take what they get, which is awfully sad because of the lack of interpreters that exist out there. But I think both of them did an absolutely phenomenal job. I was super excited that at least the Super Bowl in some capacity was able to include some sort of sign language.
It was seen for that audience and seen for that moment, a real change, hopefully going forward. What is your mindset and ethics toward culturally sensitive and you know, culturally appropriate interpretation?
Yeah, so I think the biggest struggle that people have, especially if they need an interpreter, is they just find someone that they think will work. They don't clarify and make sure that that person is certified. And oftentimes that can do more damage than good.
So, you know, we've also heard about how language changes and how, you know, signs will change over generations. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on evolution of the language and sign language being a living language.
Oh, my gosh. Every language is a living language, right? Sign language is no different. So over time, things change. Young kids used to not say things like, well, I guess I'm kind of older now, but things like LOL and BRB, and now they have shorthanded everything. And sign language is no different, right? So over time, things grow and change. Things get shorter. People want to produce things faster. And there are signs that exist for things that didn't exist before. We didn't have COVID. I mean, COVID existed, but we didn't speak of it in typical everyday conversation as much as we do now. And so before, there was not a sign for COVID. We would have to fingerspell it. Now, obviously, somebody along the way came up with a sign for COVID. Now, culturally speaking, in order to be respectful and appropriate, unless you are deaf, or hard of hearing and included in that deaf community, in that deaf culture, you are not allowed to create new signs. Even as an interpreter, I cannot make up a new sign for something. I have to kind of wait and watch and see what the deaf community does with that word. Sometimes they'll kind of, for a month or two or longer, negotiate a specific sign. Now that we have the internet, it's really nice, of course.
You're always having to learn, always keeping up with the profession. Jacqueline, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. I truly appreciate your time.
Jacqueline Corey is an American Sign Language interpreter, works for ASL Partners in Appleton. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.